There he is. Look, we're back in our old environments. I'm in LA.
I like your spectacles. I like the clear frames.
These are new. What do you think?
I noticed. They're cute.
You know, it's very popular in the city of Manhattan to be rocking clear glasses right now. And I said to myself, I think I could pull it off.
So you got yourself some clear frames.
Yeah, I rock these clear frames. Are you feeling it?
I love it.
I'm out here in Los Angeles, Donald, for the Emmy Awards.
Are you nominated?
I am nominated, oh,
okay.
Donald,
yes.
For Comedy Director of the Year.
I hope you win.
I don't know if I'm going to win. Joelle, you're very pop culture
savvy. I didn't say I know you're going to win. I said I hope you win.
Well, of course, I hope. And Amanda Kloots and my stepmother, who are both very big manifestors and whiteboarders, a lot of the stuff I say to all of you listeners I got from my stepmother initially, and then Amanda Kloots is Miss Whiteboard. She actually, you know, is going to be on Dancing with the Stars and has had Dancing with the Stars on her whiteboard forever.
Well, one down.
I'm just asking you, Joelle, you are a pop culture specialist.
Yes.
What are my odds?
Pretty good, because odds are it's going to go to Ted Lasso.
Now, some would say, sorry to interrupt you, my queen, would say if there's three directors from the same show that the vote could be split.
That could happen, but I have a feeling that Ted Lasso is really going to dominate the entire evening. And I don't know. I was trying to see if there were Vegas bets on these, like they do for the Oscars.
That's a good question, Joelle. Well, Variety. Do you know the publication Variety?
I'm familiar.
The publication Variety said I was most likely to win.
Yeah, you're the front runner.
Oh, that gives me five.
I feel it. Look, here's the thing. This is how I feel about it.
It is no bullshit. I know everybody says this, but it is pretty friggin' exciting for little old me who dreamed of making movies and TV shows to be one of the people nominated for Comedy Director of the Year. I'm very, very, very honored by that. Of course I want to win. But I'm pretty stoked just to be invited to the party.
Dude, this is how I'm looking at it, okay? One, yeah, it's cool to be invited to the party and everything like that.
Yes.
But in my opinion...
Go ahead.
I've only seen the Ted Lassos. Your episode, by far, out of all of the two others besides yours, is the more important one. And the more creative one, because you're really it's the second episode, so you're taking what the pilot did and you're taking what's going to happen. Okay, so look, it's like the handoff to the running back. Boom, here, Zach, run with it. This is the tools I have. What can you add?
Right.
Everything that you did in that, whoever followed, also watched your dailies, also freaking said, okay, well, we're going to have to add this now. So it's like, you know what I mean? You kind of have an edge just because I helped create
the look. Yeah.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to say.
I hear
and
you.
So you
now,
have
could
an
you
edge
give that,
that?
Could we go back in time and could you call
no,
every
just remember,
Emmy voter?
if you do win, it's just like this. If you do win, it's pronounced Faison.
Faison. Okay. Is it
Faison? No, motherfucker. Faison. Faison, Donald Faison. That's all I want to hear.
I don't know if you're
hear
a specific call out.
Motherfucker, if I don't hear that in the speech, I'm going to be so pissed off.
You know,
oh my
funny.
God, it'll be like when JD went to Disneyland without Turk. It'll hurt my heart, motherfucker.
All right, calm down. Do you know, like we all, if you're in the arts, back to drinking during the podcast.
This is
don't
a
worry.
Nice little. This
don't
is
worry,
nice,
it's only 1:30 in the afternoon.
This is a nice little IPA. It's citrusy. Okay. I've learned a few things about myself. I learned that I like my weed citrusy and I like my beer citrusy.
Are you high as well today?
No, I'm not. I got to write, dude, all day. Dude.
Oh, okay.
All day. This is
okay.
It's like a Sam Adams at lunch.
I
remember
see.
Those commercials?
This is your Hemingway boost, as they call it.
You remember those commercials?
This is like, you know, the Italians, when they make movies, they drink wine at lunch. You're like them.
I love it.
I'm like anyone out there who's like, you know what? It's fucking 1 o'clock. I think I'm going to have a beer with my burger for lunch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm very, one of very, those. Very, very British. The English like to have a little beer sometimes at the pub at lunch.
Do you not drink beer anymore?
You know, I used to drink beer a lot. I used to love IPAs and pale ales. And I got off when I kind of gave up gluten I stopped drinking beer. Now they do have some really good. They have a brand called Omission has a great gluten-free pale ale. But I don't really drink beer anymore because I miss it. Actually, I love certain beers, but it makes me very bloated and gives me acid reflux. So I knew that that wasn't the best for me.
That sucks.
And it makes me burp. What did you say? You were on your tear about how I should win and how you want to be thanked. Oh, what I wanted to say is, you know, if you're a creative person, your whole life you've been thinking of like daydreaming in the shower of holding the shampoo bottle of what you would say. And I never plan it out because I just think I don't like when people get up there and just read a card. So I'm just trying to think of like you have 30 seconds. Like how would you say all that you want to say in 30 seconds? It's pretty tricky.
Donald Faison, I love you so much. Everybody else, thank you so much for supporting me.
Joella, can you imagine I get up there and go, oh my gosh, I want to thank Bill and Jason so much. This is such an honor and the whole cast and crew. I really want to spend the rest of the 20 seconds on Donald Faison.
Listen, when I say your fans hear my name. Nuts.
I better hear my name. If you did not only the laughing from the audience, but also your fans would go fucking nuts. Like, now that is a true bromance.
So you're saying I should just spend, like, skip my parents, skip my team, just focus on you.
I want to spend this evening talking about a bromance.
My 20 seconds.
A bromance like no other.
But wait a second.
You out there in Hollywood and in the rest of the world, you could only hope to have a relationship like mine.
Oh, I should shame the rest of the community.
Shame them for not being to our standards.
Don't you think some of our other close friends will be bummed if I only thank you?
No.
No, they won't be.
No, I think they'll get it. I think Raiden will get it.
Raiden's in Stockholm, I think, so he won't even know.
Dude, he hit me up, man. He hit me up last night for him, morning for me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm in the pub. And some dude had a stormtrooper ring on. And I have the exact stormtrooper ring. But mine was given to me by this dude, Richard, who was the costume guy on Kick-Ass 2 when I was in London. And this guy got, the guy that was sitting next to Raiden got his from a store in London. So they could have got it at the same store. It was freaking pretty awesome to, one, talk to,
are you
text
going
with him,
to be dressing up your children for Halloween and such?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, of course. Whatever they want their kids.
Are they
going to
be
fuck up their childhood.
No, I'm saying, are you going to dress up alongside them, I guess, is really my question.
You know, my wife and I have done it to a certain degree. My kids always crush Halloween. You know what I mean? Wilder crushes Halloween.
What does she want to be? Has that come up yet, or is it too early?
It has. You know, who she really likes right now is Kamala Harris. She wrote a letter to Kamala that was so fucking awesome.
That's so
it was
beautiful.
Like, hey, Kamala Harris, my name, I just want you to know, I think you're really smart. I'm smart,
oh my God,
too. She said something, you know, I'm smart, too.
Trewell's holds in her tears. And,
oh my God, I might actually cry. That's so beautiful.
But it was like she wrote the letter. I can't say it verbatim, but she wrote a bunch of them. She wrote one to Kamala Harris. She wrote one to her grandmother, to her G-mom, to her friends at
school.
Was this
a school thing or just on her own?
No, she's really, you know, the school that we put our kids in is really good for them and is teaching them to express themselves. And she came home and she's like, you know, I'm a writer. You know, my daughter thinks she's a lot of things. She thinks she's an athlete. She thinks she's a dancer.
And she
thinks
is.
She's a singer.
And
she thinks
is.
She's a writer. You know, but you know, I am all for all of that. And the fact that she came home from school and her teacher has her inspired and has her wanting to be a writer is really awesome. And so,
out there, look at the difference you make in a kid's life.
Truly.
Amen.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
All right.
Okay, so I got one other thing that I want to talk about.
Go ahead.
Speaking
Go
of
ahead.
Children and stuff like that.
Go ahead.
Okay, so remember how I was talking about when me and my wife get together, now it's a party. I don't mean like we have a bunch of other people in the room.
No, you mean that Casey is in a phase where she is meeting you where your libido is.
Occasionally. Now, you know what I mean? Like, hold on. Look, okay, so this is what I've learned.
Maybe things quantity, are changing because of her.
Quality and quantity are two different things. Quality is way better than quantity. Although I really like quantity, quality is fire.
What's going on over at that house?
Quality is fire, right?
And so, do you think, before you go on, do you think there's anything you've done to change in such a way that made her shift?
Absolutely not. I'm the worst. I am the worst. Like, she does everything when it comes to our living.
I know, you're a spoiled little brat. You're a spoiled brat.
Dude, it's like if you had a fucking wife, it would be the same fucking thing.
No.
Do you cook, Zach?
No.
Right. Do you clean, Zach?
No.
Okay. Right then and there, you and me, well, I cook. But right with the not cleaning part, you and I are exactly alike. Exactly alike. Well, exactly alike. This is an issue. Wait,
hold
on. Do
you play with them?
Hold on,
dude. Play with them.
Of course I play with my children. But listen, listen. This is an issue in relationships. If you don't clean, you are hate. Like, this is like, can I get a mm-hmm from all the housewives or wives out there who spend time putting their energy into making their home spotless? Can I get a mm-hmm? If a motherfucker don't clean, that motherfucker is an asshole in a lot of ways. Hello, I'm one of them.
Yes.
I'm just putting it out there. Okay, right. So I have done nothing.
So what do you think? What do you think has shifted that she's now feeling you a smidgen more and getting a little more naughty?
I don't know what it is, man.
Don't fuck it up.
I know. Whatever it is, I'm like.
Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
Like, but I'm like, I can't do this not helping her out with shit stuff much longer. Or I think this wave that's crashing the shore.
Yeah.
It'll end. Yeah.
Okay. Now listen, I'm only in town till Tuesday. Do you need help with the whirly bird?
Oh my God.
Dude, the whirly bird.
I will wear my Bose. I will wear my Bose noise canceling headphones and a sleep mask.
What is the whirly bird?
That's the one we talked about where Casey came in and said no, where you'd arch like a table and
now
she
this
spins.
This is something that Scrubs came up with?
It's mentioned Sarah, right? Sarah, now mm-hmm. that Elliot, now that she's in her very sexual phase, tries the whirly
bird. I was watching Titans, which is a show on
HBO Max.
It's a show about all of the superheroes, the sidekicks, and they become superheroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They mention the whirly bird on that show. The latest episode, they mention. Not only do they mention the whirly bird, but not
in a sexual way, probably.
No, it is in a sexual way.
Really?
This guy is watching two people go at it, like at a peep show, and they say, we'll do the whirly bird, but that'll cost you extra. And the girl goes, yeah, the whirly bird costs extra.
Well, I won't charge you for my participation in the whirly bird.
So wild. Like, Scrubs must be having some kind of weird, like, resurgence. Maybe people are starting to reference it more because Stephen Colbert on his show last night mentioned Dr. Acula. And I was like, now, wait a second. That's not your joke. Yes. The whole Dr. Acula bit.
But was it Scrubs related or was he just sort of stealing it?
No, just a Dracula doctor, Dr. Acula. And I'm like, Scrubs did it first.
Oh, that's lame if he stole it.
I hope he didn't steal that. I hope this is something that he just came to.
I don't know if Stephen Colbert has ever watched Scrubs.
But just put it out in the ether. If you did, dude, that's our shit, bro.
Yeah, well, listen, in this episode, JD invents the GoPro.
He does invent the fucking GoPro. I wrote the same thing.
All right, let's get into it. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought we ran out of comedy. I thought this show was going to be, I thought this episode was not going to be funny when it started off. I was like, eh, it's okay. But by the end of it, I got to tell you, bro, I was laughing out loud.
All right, but let me ask you guys something, all right? Because I thought this was a little weird. Now, we should mention this is written by Angela Nissel, who's a very, very talented African-American female comedy writer. What did you both, as African-Americans, think about this whole Cox sort of calling out Turk on his level of blackness? I thought it was odd, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think that's every, like, I think that's a lot of African-American males, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a weakness, but it's like a...
They're worried that they're going to be treated...
Outed that you're not black enough.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So you're saying it's a real concern?
I say it's a concern for some people. I do believe some people feel like, I'm not as connected to the people as I would like to be, to my people as I would like to be. You know, but at the end of the day, there's no way anyone can tell you you're not black. You could kiss
it was
my
just,
ass.
And, man, I know, but wasn't it weird? I mean, it just felt maybe it was just a bit dated. But the idea that, I mean, obviously, clearly Cox would never do this today. But it just felt a little odd that the whole arc of you and Cox in this story is him challenging how black you are.
Yeah, but you know what? When you feel like that, you got to ask yourself, well, how much have I given back to the community? How much have I, contributed to my people?
Yeah, but I mean, in the episode, it's not that.
Yeah, it is. In a lot of ways, it is. Turk's whole thing is, I'm cool because I'm black. All the bullshit that you guys have, all the bullshit that white people have, how they've oppressed black people, God has given us coolness, and therefore, there's no way I'm cheese, dude. You're cheese. There's no way I'm not. I'm cheese because I'm black.
And he's like, "Well, what are your thoughts on this?"
For the time period, it makes a lot of sense if you look at white flight, where there's a lot of like people leaving the inner city, right? And that becomes like a black cultural hub then, because it's only black people. I was raised in the burbs. I certainly had thoughts like this of like, am I black enough? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the, like, coming out of that decade, though, there was a lot of people being like, you just are. Like, you don't have to prove it. There's no
fuck that
bar
shit,
you have
right?
to clear. You just get to be black, and that's not consistent. So I would say yes to your point, Zach. It is dated, but in that era, it was a very true and genuine feeling.
I remember a kid in my high school who was very smart, and he hung out with all the white kids, and he was he would definitely say that he felt ostracized from some of the other black kids at the high school.
Oh, dude, you get ostracized for being light-skinned in the community, you know what I mean? like straight up, like for real, man. Or dark-skinned, it doesn't matter, man. It's just prejudice within our own communities. Man, I remember my brother would be like, "Well, you're adopted." And I'd be like, "Well, how am I adopted?" He's like, "'Cause look at your skin, you're white." Because my skin was lighter than his, dude, when we were kids, man.
But the opposite of that is like, did that guy choose to have any black, because there's like also, I've certainly run into black people who don't want anything to do with other black people, and that's suspect. What's happening here and why?
I was looking at my Instagram, right? And my Instagram is me and a bunch of white people. My wife's white, Zach's white, you know what I mean? Like a bunch. And then when I dive in even deeper, it's like, all right, there are black men on my page, but the amount of black women on my page.
You need to post with Joelle more often.
It's like my mom and that's pretty much it. I think Taraji's up there. I got Taraji P up there.
A lot of ground. Like, it's going to get you a lot of extra, like, bonus points.
Taraji gets you extra points?
Of course. Taraji's the best.
But you know what I mean? It's like when you... listen, man. There's no way anyone can ever question the fact whether I'm black or not. I know I'm black. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, kiss my ass, dude. Right. Like, if that's your argument, well, you got white friends. So?
So?
And I'm black. That's
Have
what's
you ever
up.
Had a white person challenge your blackness before? Because I have. That shit was wild.
It's just weird to have that coming from a white person. You know what I mean?
It's like, so strange. How can you challenge my blackness? They basically were saying that they were just basically like, oh, well, you're not black. And I was like, but both of my parents are black and I have an afro. Like, I just don't know what more you need. Like, and then it was weird because then I had to like talk to my friends. I'm like, why is this bothering me? Because it shouldn't have fazed me at all. Like, this person doesn't know me. Like, they certainly don't know anything about my culture or my history. But I was mad about it.
Yeah,
really upset. I understand.
You know what? OJ kind of fucked it up when he said, "I'm not black, I'm OJ." Man, that kind of fucked up a lot of shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, what did you just say, dude? It's like,
whatever happened to him?
Well, how about this? How about this? He got black real quick.
Mm-hmm. Took a minute, but it did happen.
How about that?
Let's talk about Optimus Prime the mural. We are very talented painters. I don't know where JD. Am I doing all the work, or are you helping? We've made a very, very beautiful Optimus Prime mural in the baby's room.
By the way,
I just want to put a little asterisk. If you hear chainsaws, they've decided to take down a tree next door to me. They started about the second we started.
Is it a magical tree?
No, it's just right around the time we hit record, they were like, let's do it, men. Let's take down the tree. So I apologize.
Is it green? Is it a green tree?
I think it's a dead tree. I don't think people take down nice trees.
Oh, okay.
But if you listeners hear chainsaws, it's my fault. I'm sorry. What were you saying, Optimus Prime?
So if anybody knows me, you know that I grew up on the Transformers cartoon.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, those were my jams growing up. He-Man also. Saturday mornings, but after school on Channel 11 WPIX. Shout out New York City.
Yeah, Pix.
Remember that? Remember?
Pix, did you ever? Pix.
The video game?
Only Pix. People who grew up in Pix. New York our age know. Pix.
Anyway, so Optimus Prime has Transformers is a part of my childhood. I grew up.
Who was your favorite Transformer?
Growing up, So Cliffjumper was my favorite Transformer growing up. He was kind of rough. He was kind of like Bumblebee. They make him a sucker in all the movies and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. He gets killed in the movie. But in the cartoon, he survives in the 1986 cartoon. Him, Jazz.
Have you seen every Transformer incarnation?
I'm going to be honest. Some of the Michael Bay all of the Michael Bay stuff.
I can't watch any of that stuff.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I really find it unwatchable.
And it's no disrespect to Michael Bay, but I think that.
No, he's clearly a very good filmmaker. I just don't want to watch metal fight metal. I have no interest in that.
Well, you can't even see the metal fight the metal.
That's what I'm saying. Either. It's so close. I've said this before, I think. It's like the ultimate example to me of when an action movie's not working, when I don't even know what the hell's going on. I can't follow it.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so, but the cartoon, if you watched the cartoon, even to this day, it still holds up. Not the cartoon television show, because that's a dumbed down version of what the movie, but the 1986 cartoon, Transformers, movie.
Well, maybe if you have kids, show them the 1986
cartoon. No, you can't.
Movie.
Well, that you can't.
Why? Why?
It's very violent.
Oh, it's violent.
Very violent, and there's curse words in it. And
oh, so it was made for adults?
No, it was made for the kids that grew up on Transformers. So this is a quick, and then I promise you, listeners, we'll get back into Scrubs.
We need to start Scrubs. All I've said is Optimus Prime, but go ahead.
So back in the day, Transformers was a big product, and it had all of these episodes that were on television. I think it was almost like 100 episodes at this point. And they wanted to, and it was, the show was made to introduce new toys to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have all of these toys and they're like, we have a whole new line. We're going to kill, we need to erase everything and introduce this new line. Let's make a movie and do it. What we're going to do in the movie though, is we're going to kill off everybody. Everybody that was in the show, we're going to kill them off. Except for, a few, and then we're going to introduce this new line. They create the movie. The movie comes out. Kids go and see the movie and cry when Optimus Prime, the leader of the Autobots, is destroyed by Megatron.
It's devastating.
Cry.
Cry.
Cry in the theater. People walk out. Don't even finish the movie. It's not appropriate for kids. There's so much violence in it, man.
Okay.
So much violence in it.
Now,
but such a fucking awesome movie.
Wasn't there a competitor called GoBots?
Still, to this day, I still feel like GoBots never got a shot. And they and their transformation was way more futuristic, like Coptor and what was it? Cyclone? Was it Cyclone or something like that?
I don't know.
Where it was a cycle. All
right. Enough on transforming robots. Why am I putting the crib together? You guys are cuddling in bed, and I'm...
Because you got nowhere else to go.
I've got nowhere else to go. It is funny though when you hear me on the baby monitor and you're she's like, you go this time, like I'm the baby. So JD invented the GoPro. He straps a camera to a helmet.
Yes. And goes to work so he can watch what is the reason for him putting
it on? No, making it for his mom, right? We've never seen JD's mom ever.
No.
For some reason. He's going to make a video journal for his mom of what a day in his life is like.
Yes.
It doesn't last long. We see Kelso stealing ice cream from the cafeteria. We see Cox grabs the camera and says, I'm going to tell your mom that I'm mad at her uterus for making you. And he goes, bad uterus, bad uterus. And then I go, she just had a hysterectomy last month, but I'm sure I could edit that part out.
Can I say one thing? I never realized how much Lonnie was on the show also. Holy cow.
And Lonnie's supposed to be a really good basketball player all of a sudden.
That's all bullshit, and we'll get to that when we get to
We'll get to that. All right, but anyway, the janitor kidnaps me and puts me in the water tank on the roof.
Yes.
Where I could die, let's be honest.
Yes.
I could drown.
Yes.
This was an excuse to have the janitor, me. I don't know why I'm not in the business. It might be, you know, one time Bill was like, I was so fried, I think. And Bill was like, we're going to write one where you're barely in it. So you can just kind of like.
This might be the one.
And then clearly, I think it may have been because he was kind of like, we're going to give you some days off just to like catch up on rest.
Well, you're not in the episode at all.
I'm not. I'm in the fucking water tank about to die.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know. It would have been a very cool show to watch also if Neil was the voiceover. The theme of the show is feeling like you're not, you know, necessary in
or making any difference in the world, yeah.
Right. And they, you know, the janitor, when you think about it, like the janitor on Scrubs is a heightened character. Because I can't sit here and say I know that many janitors when I go to work or when I was going to school or anything. So it's like, you know, this character that we're following, even as the ensemble, it's kind of heightened because we never really get to know this character in real life. You know what
right.
I mean?
Well, and also he's a liar. He's a pathological liar.
Well, we learned that.
Well, we know that through five seasons, but in this episode, when you're finally in his head, he just talks about how much he loves lying.
Loves to lie, yeah. How much he loves
to
lie.
He just can't tell the truth.
Right.
Which really sets up the fact that so much of the shit he says isn't true. But then sometimes we see it. Like we see his squirrel army. Like, we see the fact that he makes, that he turned all his tools into eating things like the drill fork.
And we also find out that he really does want to make a difference at the place he works. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And he in his mind, even just holding the dude's legs down, that was so big for him.
That was
and he
funny
had to tell
shit,
everybody.
Though.
Oh god, yeah. Dude. Neil crushed this episode, by the way.
Yeah, we should of course mention the obvious that Neil Flynn is just so funny and he should have his own show. I mean, I know even in the middle, he was, you know, supporting, I guess. I guess he was a lead. I don't know, but I think someone needs to build. I think Neil is developing a show for himself to be the lead, but he should be the lead
but
of the
he
show.
Should
he's
be the
so
lead of the
entertaining.
Show. He's really good, man. And he's got great comedic timing.
Well, like, no one has better timing, and no one has better improv skills. And he also brings the drama at the end of this. I got goosebumps when at the last beat that we'll get to.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing I was going to say, because this whole episode, it doesn't necessarily, you don't see that. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't see that emotion at the end coming.
Because you never get emotion from him, really.
It's only a smidget of a second in the whole show. Like in the whole, if you were to look at the whole show, it literally is a fraction of what the show is. But you still, at the end, you still like,
well, you know
what's
so heartbreaking? Yeah, you know what's so heartbreaking? And we'll just talk about it now, even though it's the end, is that he doesn't even hear the thank you.
No.
That's what gave me goosebumps all over my body, is that he still ends the episode in the day not feeling appreciated at all, when all the guy wanted to say the second his computer was up was thank you.
Yeah.
It's so moving, huh?
Yeah.
So the gentleman that has locked-in syndrome, which there's an amazing movie, by the way, about this.
What is locked-in
syndrome?
Joelle,
what was that
syndrome?
Movie where the locked-in syndrome is your brain is fully fine, but you can't move at all? And people can move a cursor. Some people can move a cursor with their eyes. So he's able to move the cursor with his eye movement. It tracks his eye movement. And so he can type out or click on words, and the computer will speak for him.
Wow.
There's an incredible movie made by Julian Schnabel.
But what if you can't spell?
If you can't spell, I bet they would have just like pages of most common words. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly is an amazing film. I highly recommend to you all. And I believe it's a true story. Joelle, will you double check
that?
Yeah,
based off the 1997 memoir of Jean-Dominique Baudy.
Do you know this story at all, Donald?
I don't.
All right, and just a short version. It's the man has the true story, locked-in syndrome, and this was before the fancy computer eye-tracking technology, and the only thing he could do was blink one eye. And he would have an aide hold up letters and wait for him to blink. So she would be like A, B, C. He'd blink. Okay, it's the letter C. And he learned to communicate that way. His brain was fully 100%, but he couldn't.
Why not teach him Morse?
I think that they learned shorthand to do it. I don't know. Watch the movie. It's incredible. Okay. Julian Schnabel made it. But he eventually wrote a book like that.
Wow.
He blinked out a book. That's his story.
Amazing. Bestseller, obviously.
I mean, the movie is amazing. If you're listening to this, watch The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. It's
God.
Incredible.
Wow. He died 10 days after the book's publication.
Wow.
Wow. What a story.
But what's incredible is, what's so scary is that people don't know, people assume he's brain dead, right? He can't move. He can't move. He can't communicate.
He can't say no, please, no, no, no. Do you feel pain?
I don't remember the specifics, but he's 100. His brain is 100. They call it locked in syndrome because his brain was 100%. He just couldn't communicate at all.
Oh, that's fucking. Then you definitely feel pain if that's the case.
I don't remember. I'm sure all cases are different. I don't remember in his particular case if he felt pain.
That would be the worst, to be stuck.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. But that's what's so cool about the story, is that they finally figured out. A nurse, I believe, was like, all he could do is blink, and they like figured out. So this gentleman in our story, it's a more current day. It's the 2000s, and he can move a cursor around by tracking his eyes. The janitor has the voiceover, and he calls you Black Kojak and Scary Nurse Wife.
Yes, and now, he realizes that he can get past anyone with kindness. So.
Or compliments, right?
Right. No, with kindness. Compliments, yeah. So he says something nice about Carla, and then he moves on to Kelso, and he's almost free from having to explain where he was, because he wasn't at work, because he has placed you in the water tower. He's placed JD in the water tower, and he's almost free, and Turk asks, hey, where's JD? And he goes, I don't know. What does he say? I don't know. I think he went.
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember.
But you do the Carlton dance.
Yes.
Now, I've never seen you do the Carlton. Or, you know, I know Alfonso Rivera is credited for making this dance very famous. But wasn't it the dance that Courtney Cox did in the Bruce Springsteen video when she's pulled up on stage?
It's what Molly Ringwald did in...
Oh, in 16 Candles.
And The Breakfast Club.
It's just kind of... Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. Breakfast Club, yeah.
It's what all white people did.
Oh, it's the white people dance.
Yes. Eddie Murphy makes it famous.
Joelle, you're cracking up.
Eddie Murphy makes it famous in... I think... Doesn't he make it famous in Raw? Doesn't he make it famous in Raw with the white man?
Is that the one with the red or the purple suit? I think
that's
whichever one's red suit.
Raw is purple.
So that's
Delirious is red.
Delirious is red. But the white man's overbite, and he even does. He's like, y'all got this dance. He even does the shit.
All right. Well, Alfonso made it famous, but I remember Courtney Cox doing it, and that Bruce Springsteen early one of the first music videos was Bruce Springsteen.
Can't start a fire.
It wasn't even a video. It was just a concert video where he pulls Courtney Cox, a not yet famous Courtney Cox, up on stage.
Yeah.
All right, Beard Fosse is definitely the pharmacist. It's taken five seasons for me to prove it. He at 5:02, if you're following this investigation along with me, at 5 minutes and 2 seconds in, Beard Fosse is standing inside the pharmacist's window and working. He's the pharmacist.
Okay, or he could just be checking to see.
No, because other times we've researched this,
he's been
mingling
back there before.
No, but he's just
he's been in that room before.
But bro, he's mingling back there. This time he's at the desk. He's the pharmacist.
He's
obviously not a very good pharmacist because he's always wandering around the fucking hospital.
He's sometimes in the ICU, dude.
Yeah.
What the fuck is a pharmacist doing in?
I know.
I
don't know. We need a doctor to answer. Why would the pharmacist be wandering all over the hospital?
We're going to have the pharmacist come talk to you for a second. Like, it doesn't sound right, does it?
Well, and also, like, why are none of the prescriptions being filled? Because the pharmacist is wandering around the fucking hospital. Like, dude, get in your fucking booth and fill these prescriptions. Isn't the pharmacist is something that needs to be disrupted? It's never a good experience. Do you find that? Have you ever had an easy, nothing was wrong, everything was quick and easy at the pharmacy?
No, I just hate when it's judgmental. When like you,
they're like, you don't need these pills.
Right,
you
when they're
girthy.
when they're handing you the pills, and they're like, yes. When they're handing you the pills, and they've got that face like. That's when it's like, fuck you, dude.
What pills are you getting? Where you're getting judgment? Well, you don't have to tell us.
Don't worry about what I'm doing.
No, I'm just saying. You know, there's all these things that are disrupting everything. Like on my street in New York, there's in my whole area, there's several different companies that are doing this with the dentist. Because who likes going to the dentist? It's like the worst experience. We all know it's just like weird. They're like, now they're making them like almost like a retail storefront that looks beautiful and like a new take on the dentist. And, you know, you can make an appointment with the app. And I'm involved in this new company called Modern Animal that's doing that with the vet. They're saying like, okay, the vet is just always a hassle. It's like you can never get in. It smells. It's not – it's like old school building. This is like, again, retail storefront. You're a member of the club. You can make an appointment on your app. Anyway, my point is someone should do that for the pharmacy because I just think – I don't know. Every time I go to the pharmacy to get something, it's always – they're like, what? They can't find it. And like, did your doctor call it in?
Yeah, he called it in. Yeah.
Valtrex for Faison. Valtrex for Faison.
Oh my God. That would be the worst day of my life.
That would be the worst pharmacist ever.
I would be like, what are you doing?
Mr. Faison. Paging Mr. Faison. Your Valtrex is ready at the pharmacy counter.
It's not my Valtrex. I swear that's the wrong Faison. You must have the wrong face on. There's another face on here.
The African American face on.
They get specific.
Yeah, because you're not coming because you're hiding out in the magazine aisle. And she's like, oh, let me get more clear. The African American bearded phase on.
Black guy from Scrubs phase on.
Yeah, then 5 minutes, phase on. 5 minutes later, she's like, black guy from Scrubs, your Valtrex is ready.
Oh, no.
And did you want the 80 milligram Viagra? Because we only have 60. Please come to the desk.
Would you claim the Viagra, though? Would you be like, well, the Viagra, yes. It's mine.
I think I'll leave that there. What about the janitor riding a vacuum, flying vacuum? That looked good.
So we learned that the Viagra, the janitor has several inventions in his mind. There's the straw, that's the
straw pen.
And also there's the, if something were to spill on, let's say, the third floor of the hospital and he was on the first floor.
Yeah, you need to get there quickly.
He has a vacuum cleaner / hovercraft.
It's called the Hover Hoover.
Right. Yeah. The Hover Hoover.
But don't you think for Scrubs visual effects, which I always think are cringe, that looked pretty good.
It did look good. I was waiting for him to fly in. He's like, open a window. That would have been cool if he flew in.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder how they did that.
We didn't have that kind of budget.
It looked good, though.
How about date night with Mr. Roberts? So Laverne likes to prime the pump by watching the young men sweat on the basketball court.
Yes.
And she likes to get all worked up.
And before we get to the basketball game, not only does she like to get worked up, they role play in actual environments.
Like, yeah, she waits at the bus stop. Like,
she's going to go to the bus stop and pretend to be
a working girl.
A lady of the night.
Yeah. So, gosh.
That could go wrong. I was waiting for the punchline, like they got arrested and needed to get bailed out because...
Isn't it funny on the live show that when Aloma revealed she only read her scenes? And so when we were talking about... Because I don't think Laverne's Above
she
Ground
Pool
Party...
She has no idea what the show Scrubs is about.
No, I don't know. I don't even know if Aloma's ever seen the show. Because when we asked her about the Above Ground Pool Party, it was never discussed with her character. So she's like, what are you talking about? She has no fucking idea.
She has no idea what the show Scrubs is about.
What do you think the odds are that, other than the pilot maybe, Aloma watched a single episode?
Okay, so this is going to come on, this is going to come on before the
live
show. Am I right?
Well, this is episode 19, and so the very next episode, listeners who didn't watch the live show will hear is the live show. Yes,
oh, well, you're going to hear the audio from the live show next, listeners, and you'll hear that Aloma doesn't have any idea about the Above Ground Pool Party because she reveals that she only read her scenes in the scripts. She was so sassy, huh?
Yeah, she was
She
great.
Was as sassy as her character.
Yeah, she was great. She was one... It was just one, you know, it would be nice to do, and I'm not going to say this is going to happen or anything, but it would be nice in some way or another to do another reincarnation of this show, even if it's animated. I really feel like animated is a great way to, you know, because it feels like season 5 feels like The Simpsons and or Family Guy and or Futurama. And you know what I mean? It's just like, it's so out there and these characters could get away with so much.
Okay, we're gonna take a break and we'll be right back. Don't go, wait, where are you going? We'll be right back. And we're back.
I
don't have my sound effects machine. I didn't bring it from New York City, so... Everyone who doesn't like the sound effects, you're getting a break. You're getting a break if you don't like.
That's the thunderous applause of everybody.
And we should say, since the next episode is the live show, you're really going to like it. It's special. I was thinking we should do an episode with just the ladies. That is to say, Krista, Judy, Sarah.
Maybe a holiday-themed episode?
I'd love that.
Maybe.
I don't know about a live show. I just mean like a regular episode.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm also about that life.
Okay. Now, has Yanni Tor been said before? Because the janitor introduces himself as Dr. Yanni Tor, but I don't know if it's the first time we're hearing that.
I think it's the second, but I could be wrong.
I laughed out loud when he's holding down the legs and he says, this is easy, just like drowning someone.
Drowning someone. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then what about when he goes, I didn't see the demon leave the body.
Yes. 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 And this and this right here sends the janitor, because Carla says, great work, janitor, sends him on a freaking crusade through the hospital to tell everyone how useful he was.
Yes, he held the legs down.
At his moment, the moment they needed him, people who have no idea who he is.
And then our friend Katya, who is Judy's stand-in, who we've discussed before, has a line when she says something about, oh, he won't stop talking about his bragging. And then the guy who's, is he the dermatologist, that guy?
No, that wasn't the dermatologist. That's just some random. That was
No. I think it's the guy who plays the dermatologist.
If it was, Joelle
will find it out for
you. I'm looking it up.
But
great
anyway.
Callback, because he was called the most useless person in the hospital.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a deep cut.
Oh.
But anyway, he says, imagine how it feels coming here and knowing you don't make a difference. And the janitor overhears that. And
we go to break.
That's our commercial break.
But then we come back and he's like, I know they don't think that way about me. Of course, I'm important. Of course.
Well, he sees an opportunity because he at least finds something he can do, which is keep the man with locked-in syndrome company, because the guy can't communicate because his computer's been broken. He tries to fix his computer and really fucks it up and avoids the warranty.
Avoids the warranty and everything, yeah. Yeah.
And he introduces drill fork. You can drill and fork, but mostly fork.
Okay, can we talk about this basketball game and why it's bullshit?
Yes, let's talk about the bullshit basketball.
Okay, so Lonnie could play basketball for any fucking school. It is well known that Turk is a very good athlete.
Yes, why in this episode were you and Todd such bad basketball players?
I have no idea. And the way we would beat Lonnie and Dr. Cox is whoever Cox is guarding, you just play through that person. And you just... That's how you'd beat him. Mm-hmm. And so it was bullshit. You know what I mean?
Now, I have a question. It feels like you were triggered a bit. Did you not like even your character being beaten at basketball?
No, that's bullshit. Not by Lonnie. I don't give a fuck, dude. I played with Mike Holbert before.
Oh,
and I played with
good?
Tim and Mike.
Are Tim and Mike
I played
Mike
with
good?
All these cats. Well, I mean, not enough to fucking dunk on me. He ain't dunking on me. Ever.
First of all,
not even in his heyday. I could dunk in my heyday. Not even in his heyday could Mike Hobart.
I don't think Mike Hobart's.
Mike Hobart's he's a very good basketball player. Him and his brother are. Don't get it twisted. They all play in that Bill Lawrence game. Okay. And I don't care what you say. If anybody has ever played in that game, they know it's not only a tough game to play in, but it's a very, very rough, rough game to play in. So you can't be no sucker.
Okay, so they're good. Joelle is saying that Robert Beckwith is the actor's name, and he played Dr. Johnson here and in My Brother's Keeper. See if you can assess if he's the dermatologist. I think he is.
I don't think he is. The dermatologist has been in more
I want to bet
you. The dermatologist has been in more than two episodes. This is the only
I'm going to bet you a rolled jazz cabbage cigarette.
I got some pretty strong shit. You sure you want to do that?
Yes, I'm going to bet you one. Marky Post, who just passed away, sadly.
R.I.P.
But she is back to play Sarah's very inappropriate mother and is very funny. She gives Keith a kiss.
She says she had a C-section, so she's all good down there.
Yeah, she said nice that she's right. All her kids have been C-sections, so everything has remained the same down there.
Yeah.
Do you think there's women that do that on purpose?
If that's the reason, God.
Are yes, you there absolutely are women.
If that's the reason, really? Thank you.
Joelle, are you allowed to request a C-section?
Yes.
Because you want to keep your...
Especially wealthy women will schedule their
hold on
birth so because that it doesn't interrupt their work schedule.
Because they want to keep... I just want to be clear.
For both reasons. Because some
women... So that a male can enjoy it.
No, so that change
that's
in
the
their
only
vulva.
That's the reason. Hold on. That's the reason why the character, Elliot's mom, says it to
right.
Keith. Listen, I've done it so that when we do it, you feel it. It's going to be so fucking good for you. That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Joelle's saying that a lot of women do this for that reason. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying a lot of women do it for that reason, but there are women who, A, do schedule C-sections without necessarily needing one, and B, some do it because they want their vagina to stay tight. You know, that's what they're about.
Donald,
some
look
women
in the
do
chat.
It for scheduling purposes.
Wait, first of all, I didn't know you were allowed to schedule a C-section, but yes. Donald, look in the chat what Joelle just wrote.
Okay, so I owe you a...
Rolls Jazz Cabbage Cigarette.
Do you want it tonight?
Yeah, I want you to bring it over yourself and try it with me by my
pool. No, I can't. We can't do that. COVID, man. Oh. You just got in town.
Oh, all right. Well, I've been tested, actually.
Have you?
I'm going to the Emmys. I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to the Emmys.
Oh, my God. I heard you. Are you nominated?
I am.
Oh, my God.
There are several of us. I'm just kidding. All right. Oh, Marky Post, very funny. Oh my God.
Amazing.
By the way, no insult to Key and Peele, but you did this joke first. This is
yes.
The hilarious
Key and Peele
joke.
Bye. I told y'all. What's up, dog?
By
I
the
told
way,
y'all.
That was hilarious. Biting. That guy sold the shit out of that joke, the old white man.
What's up, dog?
Yeah. But what we're talking about, if you're lost, is there's an amazing Key and Peele sketch where
Obama.
Jordan Peele is playing Obama and how he greets white people differently than black people. And it is so funny. If you can YouTube it, I'm sure. But it's basically this joke that old white man is walking down talking to the white people one way. And then he sees Donald and he's like, what's up, dog?
All right. I'm going to say this and I can say it because Shea Serrano said it.
Go ahead.
Turk and Carla are the cutest couple in TV history, period.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't give a fuck what anybody says, man. You can say whatever you want to say, but the two of them are so cute together, especially when, you know, she's comforting him because he feels, that, you know, maybe Dr. Cox was, you know, in some ways right. And she's like, hell no, he's wrong. And, you know, he's like, I just, you know, want to be able to do things when we're married. And she's like, of course we're going to do things when we're married. We'll still be able to go out and we're going to go and go to movies and eat dinner. He's like, really? And she's like, no, we're going to have kids. Don't be stupid. She's like, but don't worry about it, man. It'll be great because we'll still be able to have lots of sex. And he's like, really? She's like, no, get out of here.
Donald, it's your life.
Dude, I wish Casey was here right now because the theme song would be playing.
Right.
I even asked her. I was like, do you want to come on and talk about this today? And she was like, no, don't. We don't have to talk about it. But it's real talk, man. It's like.
I'm sure every,
it's like I was saying in the beginning.
Every parent listen can relate.
It's like I said in the beginning. As you get older, like I still would love quantity. Quantity is a lot of fun to me when it comes to sex with my wife. But quality, you can't beat that with a baseball bat. And that's what those two, you know what I mean? And that's what those two have, man. They have freaking something really special. And when they have these moments like this in the Scrubs shows, it feels so good. And
yeah, well, it's a testament to you and Judy. I mean, I got to say, your chemistry all these years was so strong. And, you know, if you're not in the business, you might think that you can fake that. But you can't really fake that. You can... Obviously, two actors can pretend they like each other, but there's something about when chemistry happens like it did between Donald and Judy that it really resonates. People feel it.
and I think Judy has this going for her as well. I think all of us do. And I think maybe it's because we're character actors on this show. But we're very lucky because when we work with other people, we can find a way to have that chemistry. And that's, I think that's what makes really good character actors. You know what I mean? Like, a character actor is somebody who can come into a scene and do a scene with someone, and the chemistry is good and it works, that you believe the relationship, in my opinion. I think that's what, you know, is, you know, strong, something for a character. I think all of us on the show Scrubs have this ability to form a chemistry with whoever we're working with.
Well, no, but I disagree with you that in this case, of course, that's what happened, and that's one of the reasons it went 9 years, the chemistry between all of us. But that doesn't always work for all of us in our other endeavors. You sometimes have to pretend that you really like someone or pretend that you don't want to.
But that doesn't mean you don't have chemistry.
For me, I equate chemistry with, like, I feel so comfortable with this person. And I can totally be free to perform and not be in my head and not think, oh, this person's a jerk. That's what I equate it to. Is like, I like them and I love what they're doing and they respect me and they like what I'm doing and we click, you know?
But then there's
it's a relationship, obviously.
But then there's the flip side of it. And there are directors who like it where the set is kind of chaotic and people are at odds and ends with each other. Right. You hate it, but sometimes that makes for great chemistry.
Oh, I once was doing a play with someone who was so impossible. And and he said, I like tension in the rehearsal room. He said,
oh.
He said it was good for, he thought it was good for the play. And I just remember thinking, like, I hate tension. I want to create a safe space on my sets when I'm the boss. I create a place like we had on Scrubs where there's no wrong answer and be free. And this is a kind environment for you to be creative. I don't want anyone feeling on edge and uncomfortable. That's not my style. Mm.
Her dad.
So we learned that Carla, you know, Elliot finally has the epiphany she needed to have, that Carla was the one who helped her become the great doctor that she is. And Carla was the one who saved her ass 100 times.
Well, we should go back and explain Elliot's storyline in this whole episode is that, you know, she feels she needs to be a little bit tougher on her interns because she gets chewed out in the beginning by Kelso, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
In saying that your intern's mess ups are your responsibility.
Yeah.
So she wants her interns to be the best that they can be so that she doesn't have to, you know, feel the brunt on her end.
Yes. And one of her interns, because she puts a smiley face after one of the dosages, it causes the seizure that the janitor helps with. And he believes is an exorcism. I think that's my favorite line of the episode. I didn't see the demon come out.
Yeah, I didn't see the demon leave the body.
That's the funniest line of the episode. And as I said in the end, you know.
I laughed at also, this is easy. Like, it's a lot like drowning. Someone made me laugh too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're running right after the other.
Yeah.
And then it's very moving, as we said earlier, in the end, when Cox, you know, is all proud of himself because he's the top dog, top alpha doctor in the hospital, and he opens the computer and the man's able to communicate the word thank you. And Cox is like, oh, you're welcome. And he says, no, I didn't mean him. And I thought it was such a great choice of Bill's. And or John Inwood, our cinematographer who shot this, although I don't think it would have been left to the director. I'm sure this is a Bill decision, that the janitor never hears it, which I just thought was such a moving choice.
Yeah, but he still made a difference. And he knows
I know,
he does.
I know, but
and
he
knows
doesn't.
He did.
No,
too.
He doesn't. No,
well,
he does.
In a lot of ways, he knows he does. He knows.
To me, what was moving about it is he never heard it. He doesn't know.
His ego won't allow him to not know. No,
I disagree.
Okay. Well, hey, it still was an emotional moment.
You've been wrong before. It's
I've
happened.
Been wrong several times. I've been wrong a
this
lot.
This is the third
life.
Time since I've known right. you that you've right. been wrong. Joelle, do we have a guest today to
we
talk
sure
to us?
We sure do.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with a very fun get. Where are you going? No? I'm right back. We'll be right back.
And we're back!
All right, Joelle. We don't have Daniel. Donald, what do you think the odds are that Joelle will successfully record this guest?
Told you I'm not messing this up.
Well, Joelle, you remember what happened last time Daniel left the recording of the guest to you.
It was horrible and hard, but I learned.
That poor
and I'm
guest
growing.
Had to go back to their family, probably collapsed in the fetal position, crying that they had been cut.
No. Zach, don't break my heart like this.
No, they DM'd me and they were like, you know. I'm hurting inside.
Yeah.
Oh,
this pain won't go away. I got a DM from them too.
The only they thing said, that will save me is if, you know, Joelle somehow rectifies
no.
this.
Yes. I got someone saying that they had finally beaten OxyContin and
stop
and
it.
When and when Joelle
oh God. Sent them right back into it, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
It's all right. It's fine, Joelle. Accidents happen, like not hitting the record button.
I hit record. I just didn't. You know what? Listen. You're
who do we got? Who do we got?
All right. Bring
who
him in, Joelle. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it.
Who is it? Who is it?
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle. Let's get the show on the road.
Give it up for Will and Darren.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
welcome
guys.
Welcome to the program. We're so happy to have you.
You guys are some
We are honored to be on.
You honor me. I don't have my sound pad. Otherwise, I'd be hitting you honor me. But maybe Daniel will add it in post. We
how
don't
about
have
this?
Daniel
Wu-Tang
today.
Forever.
Yeah,
Wu-Tang forever.
Yeah, why don't we just do them live? We'll do it live. Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever. You honor me. You honor me. You honor me.
Wu-Tang forever.
Zach, I love you. Zach, I love you.
Oh, for fuck's sake, quit talking about your willies.
Yeah. Oh, for fuck's sake, please stop talking about your willies.
Oh, my God.
There you guys. You guys are getting them live. Oh, God. That's the clap sound.
And a rap
by Lil Lamar. Oh, you know that.
Will and Derek, can you tell the guys what it is you do and why you wrote in to be on the show?
Yeah, Will, do you want to start us off or you want me to?
I'll start us off, Derek, and you go into it. So, Zach and Donald, do you know how you started a podcast to talk about the show that you were on, and you go back and you rewatch episodes of
yes.
the show and talk
yeah.
about it?
Yeah, I know about that.
So yeah, so well, what we came up with was rewatching episodes of your podcast and reviewing it.
Oh my gosh.
Using it as a shameless plug to try and get Joelle to let us on Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
All right. Now, does anyone listen to your podcast?
We are actually in a lot more countries than you would have expected.
Yes, we have tens of listeners, Zach. We are very proud of our tight-knit. But
I'm seriously, how many listeners do you think listen to your rewatch podcast of the rewatch of Scrubs?
Oh, God.
It's officially called the Rewatch
that you
Podcast
were...
Rewatch Podcast.
Oh, okay.
You kind of stole our idea because we were running out of ideas what to do next. And we were like, why don't we re-listen to the podcast?
So I am going to throw this out here, Zach. Our first episode was published February 3rd of this year.
Oh, and you have 18 plays.
Yeah, we have 18 plays of the pilot.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Wait, well, we should give you a plug since, what's it called?
Our show is called The Rewatch Podcast, Rewatch Podcast. And you can find us on Twitter at @RPRPOfficial.
Okay, so there you go.
I think where Joelle really started to see us because we started live tweeting your live shows, and the first one was a lot more low key, but we really laid into it on the second one, and we got a lot more engagement. Even Krista Miller retweeted.
Now, are you guys
get
hard
the
on
fuck
us?
Out of here? What did you say about us, dude?
Are you guys hard on us? Is there criticism? Because Donald and I don't handle criticism very well.
Oh, no, we love you guys.
No, I can tell if you would do a rewatch of a podcast rewatch, you're probably fans. But are you guys like, is there critiques? Or you're like, gosh, they really barely talked about Scrubs this episode?
We have you know, we have some segments. We have the Donald phase on, you know what I mean, counter. We actually invited a guest who was on your podcast to come on our podcast and talk about her
this
time.
This is so
on
meta.
Did she get on? Did she come on?
She did. She did came on. It was a great episode.
Fucking why isn't anybody listening to this podcast? Y'all need to get on board. God dang it.
Now you should
that's
get,
what I'm
now,
saying.
Listen, that's what
saying?
I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm a little worried though.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wu-Tang forever. Zach, I love you. Now listen, guys, I'm a little worried that you're gonna have some of our guests on again before we have a chance to have them on.
Yeah, like, you can't
bring
have,
back that sex
couple. You can't bring
couple.
Back the so sex we, couple before we have the sex
Stay
couple.
Stay away from that so, sex that sex couple, that cuckold couple. They're ours.
All right, you can keep them, but our, yeah. if this was going to continue where we weren't getting onto Fake Doctors, Real Friends, we were going to try everything in our power to try and get Ryan Reynolds on before you did.
Oh my God!
Fuck you, dude!
We also considered. So there's like a Scrubs like Discord and a Reddit. We considered going on to the Reddit and being like, "Is anyone's legal given Christian name Ryan Reynolds? And can you come on the podcast just so we can say, hey, Joel, we got Ryan Reynolds on our podcast before Zach and Donald. Can we come
Joel,
talk to
I
about
can't
it?
Believe you took so long to let these gentlemen come on the show. They've dedicated their lives to the cutting on the show.
I like the build up. That's a little bit
yeah,
build
a lot of build up.
This oh might goodness. Be my new favorite podcast, and I don't
Donald,
listen to podcasts.
Oh,
but this
God.
Might
That's
be
right.
my new favorite podcast.
I don't think Donald's ever listened to another podcast besides this one. Have you, Donald?
This might be my new favorite podcast. It's
I mean, well, I was going to say, Will, do you want to tell them the Star Wars thing we did?
Oh,
wait,
yeah,
hold up. You did a Star Wars podcast on our rewatch?
No.
So we made, again, in our quest to get Joel to notice us on Twitter.
Oh, my God. Joel, these poor guys.
We made a custom video on Twitter of it's the Star Wars opening, but the crawl is just like, it's like episode 7, Joel, can we be guests on Fake Doctors? And then it's a whole like build up about like two Scrubs fans, Derek and Will, trying to beat the existential dread of a pandemic.
Joel, speaking of Star Wars, what's
Joel,
going
where's
on?
Your camera, by the way?
When,
what's going
when
on?
Is our, why, when is our Star Wars podcast?
Joel, why are you not showing your face to these men? Are you ashamed
because
you made them?
No, not at all. My internet was a little unstable, and I just want to make sure everything keeps going. So, turning off your camera.
I know, but these men might want to see your face since you really
okay,
made them struggle.
If we lose the Zoom, it's not my fault because
there
I
she is, the
caution,
woman
so.
Who tortured you guys.
It's Joel.
Hi guys, how are you?
Oh. When is our Star Wars podcast coming out?
Yeah, what's happening?
You guys will be taking a break, and then my hope is that you will have time now that, you know, Zach will be off doing his thing. You and I can do our thing.
Oh,
that interrupting.
Very nice.
So that's the hope. So okay. You have to let me know.
Let me explain to the audience who might be not who might be confused.
I'm gonna do the soundtrack.
I don't
okay?
want you to. Okay, Joelle and Donald are going to do a new podcast called The Black Side, and it's all things Star Wars from the perspective of two African-American people who are obsessed with Star Wars. Is that correct, Joelle? Is that the pitch?
That's 100% correct.
Okay, can you stop that fucking song now? You just think of that in your sleep, don't you? You just sit there like...
It's a great song.
All right.
These guys are young. Oh shit.
What?
Yeah. They're young because he went.
Oh, I didn't do that.
It sounded like you did that.
I was doing the original with you.
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
All right. So I take it that you guys are both mega Star Wars fans as well.
I have been described as a colossal nerd. So yes, I am a Star Wars fan.
Okay. So I take it you'll be tuning in to the Black Side when it becomes available.
100% yes.
I have a question then. What was your favorite episode? There, young Will.
Episode of the podcast or episode of Star Wars?
No.
Since we're singing back to Star Wars.
He's only interested in Star Wars.
I don't give a shit about your favorite episode of the podcast. Fuck that shit. I want to know about your favorite episode of Star Wars.
Oh, Empire, hands down.
Empire, hands down. Really? And you're a young man, too. How old are you, can I ask?
I'm 33.
33, and Empire, hands down. Joel. What's your favorite episode of Star Wars?
Canonical episodes 1 through 9. It's definitely Empire. followed closely by episode 7.
Force Awakens. I was like, oh, really?
Ooh. TLJ, Last Jedi 8. Yeah.
You see how
do you want to know? Do you want to know mine or do you want?
Nobody gives a fuck what you've been.
Oh, no, I don't like that energy. I don't like that.
The podcast isn't called The Zach Side.
Zach, I love you. Zach, I love you.
See, you don't even need the soundboard anymore.
Yeah, you guys
it's better. It's live. Better if I just do it live.
You
do
it live. But everybody knows exactly what you're doing now. You've used it so much, dude.
Oh, I know.
You've used it so
and
much.
And by the way, I still haven't fucking labeled the thing, and I have to guess every time anyway. No, so this way, I know I'm always going to get what I want.
That's something you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. It's like jazz with a soundboard. That's what makes it great.
I know. It's like I'm scatting.
Why is nobody listening to your podcast, guys? Come on.
All right. So you guys only had 18 listens on your pilot. I don't think that's very good. We need to get those numbers up.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Well, originally, Zach. So we found your. We've always been fans of Scrubs, and it was right during like the lockdowns that your guys' episode came out, and you know. Derek and I were just like, you know, we were just talking back and forth about how, like, for a while, it was one of, like, the best things about life during pandemic. It was like, hey, every week we got this podcast and we can watch Scrubs and we can do this. That just morphed into, like, we're talking about the podcast. We're talking about Fake Actors anyway. Like, let's just record it and we can start doing this to get Joelle's attention.
You should go into the Facebook. I don't look at it because, I don't want to read anyone saying that we suck. But I know that there's a Facebook group that discusses the podcast.
What platform are you
on? What platform?
Yeah.
So we're on Anchor.
Are you guys on iHeart too?
maybe one day.
Okay.
You're going to need a few more than 18 listens, I think.
What? Yeah, a couple.
You guys
should
at least rally your parents. They don't have to listen. Just hit play on their phones.
Yeah, I know, right? Well,
so we're just on Anchor right now because the other thing was we didn't want you guys think like that we were starting our own podcast as like a way to build a podcast. This is all just a labor of love for us. So we just had it on Anchor and we would only seed it out. Like we would tweet every episode and tag you guys in it and then email Joelle and be like, Joelle, we made another episode. And
well, we're not really on Twitter. We gave up Twitter for sanity's sake. But Joelle, you should be retweeting it because Joelle's missed Twitter.
She's retweeted a few of us.
How long do you talk about the podcast episode in your podcast episode?
So we typically run to anywhere between like 45 minutes to an hour when we after we like cut it up and everything. I think the episode that we had done with Brittany went a little bit longer, and that ended up becoming its own episode apart from the actual, you know,
recap episode.
Yeah, recap episode. That Joelle, we were doing.
I'm worried that they're going to beat us to the cuckold couple. Can you book them?
Yeah, make sure, please.
Joelle, please book
no,
them.
They're going to hear this and be like, "We need to choose which one we're going to do."
Do you want? Well, see,
this
guys,
new podcast,
they're obviously not. No,
the
with all due respect,
the
they're not going to go with the 18 listeners. They want to hear. They want their story heard.
I have
well,
a feeling.
Zach, that was
I have a feeling
one.
After.
You've
about to
oh,
say,
you've grown.
I have a feeling after this episode that we put up today,
right.
Their numbers are going to grow. Sometimes.
Yeah, your numbers are going to grow a lot.
I'm going to just say this right now. You guys seem like very funny.
Yes, you seem
duo.
Funny. What do you guys do for a living?
You guys seem like I don't want to just assume, but Derek, you seem like you're a brown man. Will, you seem like you are a white man. So you got
That's
your whole,
correct.
You we have am. The whole chocolate and vanilla guy
sure
love
do.
Thing going. There's chocolate
are you guys,
bear and
are
vanilla
you guys,
bear.
Where do you live?
I'm outside of Philly.
I'm in Queens, New York.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
And
you
Donald's
got the tri-state area thing going.
Okay. And then what do you guys
really,
do?
Really, that's
for
Connecticut, Jersey, and New York. But yeah. Hey, you got it. You know, hey, fucking.
Amtrak still goes right there.
It's and what do you guys? What do you guys do for jobs?
So I work in pharma, and Will.
I work in advertising. I do analytics.
Okay. Are you a sales rep for Big Pharma, Derek?
No. So I'm a program manager.
Okay. Well, we won't hold it against you. all right. Do you guys have a question? That's why you're here. You worked very hard to get on the show.
Yeah. So Scrubs was originally on around a time where there were a lot of other amazing shows that were on, was there ever any opportunity for like a crossover episode? And if not, was there any particular show that you would have wanted to have done a crossover with?
Well, just the Arrested thing, you know, we did. I think we told that story that, you know, we were on opposite networks and Jason and I were friendly and we got them to allow us to do that. That was kind of the closest that I think it ever got. You know, back in the old days, they would like literally the characters would go on other shows. I mean, usually they were like, you know, the same producer, like Gary Marshall, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, no. Well, when we did Clueless, when I was doing Clueless, a television show back in the day, and we were on the same network as Moesha. And they had a crossover episode where we had Niecy on the episode. We had Lamont Bentley, God rest his soul. He was on the episode. And if I'm correct, Shar Jackson, Lamont Bentley, and then Gab Union, who was not on either Clueless.
My wife. Or,
yeah,
she was in the episode as well. But that had nothing to do with, like, one was a Paramount movie. Like, it was really odd, but, you know, it worked.
Do you remember when on Scooby-Doo, they would have, like, was it the Harlem Globetrotters?
The Harlem Globetrotters.
Yo, dude, like Urkel, Costello and... Urkel was just on the most recent version of
really?
Scooby-Doo
was my jam. That was my favorite kid show.
Really?
Yep.
My favorite kids animated. I think Scooby-Doo was probably like my favorite kids animated show. Yeah, at the age I was right for it.
Classic. You
know?
Yeah,
Scooby-Doo is a classic.
It really is.
You got to show your kids or show your daughter. She'll probably be into it, Donald. Show her like the version we watched.
No, they watch Scooby-Doo. They know exactly what Scooby-Doo.
No, but not the new shit. I'm sure there's new version.
They've watched old school Scooby-Doo. Also. Okay. They know exactly. What
and I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those damn kids.
Those damn kids.
But that's in every. That's in even in every incarnation. Is it incarnation? Am I saying
yes,
it right?
Yeah.
In every incarnation of Scooby-Doo, they always do that line. So you never have to worry about that.
All right, good.
They got to keep something.
But I'm not going to watch the movies. All right. What's your next question, guys?
Our next question, it actually has to do a little bit with something that we've talked about on our podcast, which we've talked about about how Bill Lawrence created all of these shows, you know, Spin City, Ted Lasso, Cougar Town, Scrubs. We have a theory that this is all within a shared universe.
Wow.
And that there are variants of character. We've already proven this in Cougar Town, that there's a variant of Zach that's a pizza delivery man.
I think in Cougar Town, Ted plays Ted, right?
Oh, yeah. Ted plays Ted. That's the link.
Yeah, that's the link that starts this. So what we're wondering is, if this is all Bill Lawrence's universe who has created it, is he a benevolent god? Donald, is
Will,
he
you're
like
not going to give
watcher?
Him
is he the
name?
Watcher? Is he,
yeah,
the,
is
watcher?
He the Watcher? Is right. he who remains of the Bill Lawrence universe? The BLC?
I don't think he minds there being variants. I think if anything, Bill would enjoy there being variants.
I don't understand these sci-fi nerd terms you're using.
Okay,
can you translate to people that don't play D&D?
So essentially, Bill has shown up in Scrubs twice. And Ted has shown up in Cougar Town as Ted. So there's so Bill clearly exists in different versions within this universe that he's created. So how does Bill link all of this together? How do we think this is all combined?
In this world, you're saying that Lasso is existing in the same universe as Cougar Town and Scrubs.
We'd like to think so. Like maybe Turk shows up. And
you see
is...
that there was a thing I retweeted a while ago because I do occasionally lurk on there, and there was someone who had done a match for each character of Lasso to Scrubs. Did you see that?
That was awesome.
I thought that was clever.
Yeah, like we think it's entirely possible that there could be a flashback in Ted Lasso season 2 or 3 where Roy Kent is like, I went to this American surgeon when I hurt my knee, and it cuts to Donald Faison as Chris Turk being like, well, Roy Kent.
How about this? Let's ask Bill Lawrence right now.
Okay.
Are you going to give him the name that you coined?
You guys can ask the question. Go ahead.
All right, Bill, our friends here, Derek and Will, have a question for you. Go ahead, Derek and Will.
Bill, we believe in what we have coined the Bill Lawrence Extended Cinematic Universe, or the BLECU, in which Bill controls all of one shared universe between Scrubs, Spin City, Cougar Town, Ted Lasso, etc. Do you confirm this theory right now on this podcast?
All right.
Oh, well, the people want to know, Bill.
The people want to know.
You guys think you can just ask Bill, like, whenever you have something you want to ask Bill? Like, I'm just here waiting to... Look, I'll tell you this. You can, because I've got nothing going on. And please ask Bill more. The Bill Lawrence universe, not the one that's in my head, the TV show one. I feel like you left out Clone High, because here's some trivia. The janitor from Scrubs played the janitor in Clone High. And if you go back and see what his name was Glenn, and on the cartoon, and that's where we got his name in Scrubs. The confusing thing about the Scrubs universe, Cougar Town, Scrubs, Spin City, Clone High, hopefully Ted Lasso, is that I think Scrubs exists, well, in some shows. So I think Sam Lloyd still played Ted Buckland on Cougar Town, but the Todd was the gardener, but he still did high fives, and Zach was not Zach, because in Cougar Town, JD would never be a pizza delivery boy, and Busy Phillips' character on Cougar Town had a Zach Braff app, in which the app told you what appetizers to order. I do like to believe that there's some kind of system, and I'm working on it now, and I think it probably revolves a little bit around hopefully seeing the Scrubs cast on Ted Lasso sometime. If I can make that happen, then it's the multiverse, and it works. Miss you guys. Talk soon.
I think what would really help your case is if I were to have a role on Ted Lasso as a doctor.
I would love a role. I'm not going to lie to you guys at all.
Agreed.
I'm not going to lie to you at all. Dude, I would love to be on Ted Lasso.
I think they have a rule in their Bible, in their show Bible, that that there's no Americans other than Beard and Jason.
That's fine. I will fucking work on a British accent.
Well, there's the variant of Dr. Chris Turk. He's a British.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't get on the show. But someone could reference a famous surgeon named.
True. Yo, I had no idea that the owner of the team is the freaking nun.
Shame
from,
nun.
Shame.
Nun, yep. From freaking Game of Thrones. You want to talk about a glow up?
By the way, tell me about it.
By the way, I was, not to humble brag, but I was drinking with Hannah last night. She has the body of Jessica Rabbit.
Yes, she does.
Yes, she
I saw her in person, and I was like, "How?"
Yes, she does.
She has the most.
I didn't
want to
say it, but you did. I didn't want to say it. You did. Yes, she does.
I said it to her face. I said, "Your body is insane. You're like Jessica Rabbit. You are so beautiful, and she's the sweetest person. And you know that's really her voice is singing because she told me.
She's got a great voice.
I don't know
too.
If you saw on her Insta stories. She put her rehearsing the Christmas song because she had people being like, there's no way that's her. And she was like, okay. And so she put the rehearsal video on. She has the most insane voice.
They said, there's no way that's her. That's the hate, man. The hate.
I know.
It's hard to believe someone that beautiful is that talented at acting and can also see, like, how? Yeah. Again, just how? She's incredible.
And she's the most humble, sweet, loving person.
Ugh. You love to hear it.
Yeah.
I think she's going to win this weekend. I think.
Yeah, keep them crossed.
I have very high hopes for Ted Lasso this weekend. I'm not going to lie. By the time this airs, you guys,
it'll be long
been happened. This will be old news, but I have high hopes, and it'll be interesting.
We're banking episodes, for those of you who don't know, because I'm going to direct a movie, and I can't do a podcast while I'm directing a movie. So that's why we've gotten far ahead.
But not only – we should say this also.
Go ahead, Donald. It's Donald, right?
It is. in the midst of doing – Why is that funny? Why do you?
It's always funny. It's always funny.
It's always funny.
It's a classic. It's a classic. Because anyway. You're my best friend, and the joke is I've forgotten your name. Learn humor. Fuck tits.
No.
Dick.
Sorry.
No.
Don't. Joelle's covering her face with like
fucking shit pimple. You are a pimple shit on a pimple. Piece of shit.
Okay.
Oh, that's a new one.
Oh,
okay. T ears. All right. Finish, whatever.
Shit pimple.
Finish your boring ass story. Go ahead. We're banking episodes. What?
And while we're doing it, I'm also in the midst of creating a television show. And so because of that, we might come up short. And so there might be a hiatus that happens.
But that's when I think y'all can do some of your black side.
You got real careful real quick. Real careful.
I couldn't remember the name.
Oh.
I don't understand what you're implying. All right, Joelle, but if we come up short, because I'll be making the movie, why don't you guys use the slot with some black side?
I was hoping that we could get maybe the rewatch of the rewatch.
Well,
in that slot as well.
I don't know. With all due respect to these gentlemen, I don't
Will,
know.
Will, are we just going to pretend to be Zach and Donald for a couple episodes and rewatch? Be like, yeah, I remember filming this scene.
That was listen. On our list of things to do for this podcast. We were going to like write a script about like a fake like episode of Fake Doctors Real Friends and just like have actors like read as if they were like Zach and Donald talking about like, oh yeah, season 12 of Scrubs, I remember that. We actually flew out to San Diego for that one.
You
just
guys have a lot of free time, and it's
a pandemic. We had nothing to do.
Okay, all right
we just came up with endless ideas.
All right,
well, it's time for Philadelphia
and
Queens, New York.
Yeah,
favorite segment.
Go on, Donald.
It's time for...
It's time to...
A rap by Little Ole Mar.
It's time to fix
your life!
Go ahead, gentlemen. You have to have a shared fix your life.
Yeah, we do. Will, take it away.
Okay, well... I'll start us off, guys. So we obviously started this podcast to be invited to come talk with you guys as guests on your podcast.
It worked. It must have been on your whiteboard.
Thunderous applause, Daniel. Thunderous applause.
Yeah. Daniel, who's not here, add thunderous applause.
So admittedly, we're feeling today a bit like the dog that caught the car.
Okay.
Derek, you want to take it?
Yeah, break? So what our fix our life question for you is, where do we go from here? What should our new goal be?
Just now that we what you're doing.
Well, I think you guys are genuinely funny and charming, and you have great banter. I think you should keep going with your podcast. It doesn't need to be about our rewatch if that becomes like not boring or you're over it. But or no one's listening to it, more importantly. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe after this plug, they will.
Yeah,
but
who knows?
But I definitely think you guys have a great banter and you're funny. And you should make, if it's not what you've been doing to get on the show, you should keep it going with something else that really interests you and you love chatting about with your best friend.
Yeah.
Right, Donald?
I agree 100%. And you guys are in a different state. You know what I mean? It's a great way to keep in touch with each other. You have an appointment every week. I don't know how many times you do your podcast, but you have an appointment every week to talk to each other. You know what I mean? We might as well stick it out, see what happens.
Bring in some sidekicks like Daniel and Joelle.
Yeah.
So we did have a guest. So we had our one guest who was on your podcast. We had another guest come on who we found out mid-recording not only did not listen to the episode of Fake Doctors Real Friends, but had never seen Scrubs before.
Oh my gosh!
It was pretty funny. We were just like,
"Why
okay,
did you
so,
choose that guest?"
Because he's a very good friend of ours. And
let me ask you a question.
You guys were starving for guests.
Yeah,
itself.
Yeah.
Like, we were
interviewed. It'd be better to interview your cat. Now listen, why don't you guys? Let me ask you something. Serious question. If obviously you love Scrubs and you're interested in Scrubs. What's something that you both share a love for that you wouldn't mind chatting for hours on end, you know, once or twice a week about?
Well, I think I know what the answer to the question is going to be. It's probably going to be just TV and or movies in general, just film and cinema and
whatnot.
Yeah,
definitely.
There's a very big market for that.
Exactly.
A lot of people are looking to listen to stuff like that.
No, you just find, you got to build an audience. I mean, listen.
Joelle, go ahead. Say it. Joelle,
go ahead. We should be asking you.
It seemed like you were about to say something. I'm sorry.
No, I was not.
She's watching Clone Wars in the back.
That is ridiculous.
Oh my God, that reaction was something bad happened on Clone Wars.
Yeah. Ezra just saved Lothal.
Sometimes Joelle reacts on the chat and it's not to what we're saying. It's to fucking something that happened on Clone Wars in the background.
That has literally
she's watching
never
Rebels.
Happened.
She's watching
guys-
Rebels.
By the way, she's
Ezra
watched Rebels. She's watched
just
Rebels.
Save Lothal.
She's watched Rebels 900 times, but she still reacts surprised when Lothal gets saved.
By
it's
Ezra.
Such a beautiful moment. Okay, we went through so much heartbreak to get here. Oh my God.
All right, well, listen, guys, I think that it's really fun. I love doing this with these guys, and it's something, you know, Donald and I obviously have a shared humor of the surreal experience that's a very unique experience to go back and watch something we did for 10 years that we barely remember, and we laugh at it. It's our sense of humor. So if I were you, find something that you just love talking about and build an audience that way, because when you really are passionate about something and you're lit up by it, it's you know, it's contagious. It's infectious. People love it. They want to the people that share your love of whatever films or TV or video games or whatever you guys are reviewing or talking about, they'll be right there with you. It's just about building a community. Now, if you're famous and you've been on a famous TV show, you can build a community a lot faster. It goes without saying.
Sure.
But, so you'll build your community perhaps a bit slower, but that doesn't mean that you won't build a community and have a lot of fun doing it. And that's my advice.
Not only that, I think a lot of people tune into Fake Doctors, I hope, because they enjoyed the camaraderie Zach and I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are truly best friends. And so if you can have that shine through on your program, I promise you it's infectious. People do enjoy listening to two buddies shoot the shit.
And kindness. Kindness is contagious, they say. Yeah. And we try to promote kindness here. So
Even though he is a fucking shit pimple.
Wow. So does that mean that my pimples, when you pop them, shit comes out?
No.
Or I am said pimple?
You are said pimple on a mound of shit.
Oh, say, I see. So if there's a mound of shit and that
there is
mound
a pimple
of,
on
it's
it.
Like, you remember at the end of... Weird Science.
Yes,
when they turn Chet into a pile of shit.
Yes.
You're saying that I'm like a pimple on the Chet
pile
of shit.
You're the pimple that pops that. You remember when it spews out? He's like, oh God.
After
he
eats the fly.
Yeah. After he eats the fly.
Is that what Chet is turned into, a pile of shit? Or is it just a monster blob?
I think he turned into a pile of shit at the end.
Do you guys have an opinion
on
what Chet is turned into at the end of Weird Science?
I think it's a pile of shit.
I'm pretty sure it's a pile of shit.
Oh, okay.
When he freaking eats that fly, that shit makes me laugh so hard. Ew! Oh God!
All right, guys, you've been great guests, and we hope that your show becomes so big that we have to create a rewatch podcast to get on your show.
We were actually going to invite you. We were going to invite you if you know anyone making a podcast that wants to make a rewatch podcast of a rewatch podcast of a rewatch podcast, and we can just keep this going to infinity.
Oh my
and
God.
Just and critique
no.
like
you're
Will,
trying like
you know,
Will.
Will, no. Will, you've flown too close to the sun.
He's in a ghost.
Oh my God. Do you hear that?
I do. Is this more to cutting of the tree?
Louise, man.
I don't know. Right. It's like, I think they're moving on
That's
to
wild.
Taking out the trunk.
City living.
All right. We did it. We did it, buddy.
We did it. You're welcome. You guys can stay on because we're going to end the show here. That's a funny episode. And we thank you all for listening. And join us next time for more adventures with Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Donald, what are those numbers people love to hear?
5, 6, 7, 8. Some stories.